we'll go right into it. This should be really short. It's only 14 slides. Last one was 34, so if that makes sense. What's that? Yeah, well, I bet I could stretch it out if I tried to. So what's the leadership then that produces disciples? Right, we want to be a disciple-making church, but what's the leadership that does that? And we've said all morning this morning, it all begins at the top. It all begins at the top. If not, it creates a huge divide among the body. And so pastors must be convinced of the need for biblical soul care and committed to develop it in the church, no matter what obstacles they may face. What are some obstacles that you think are faced if a church tries to go into more of a biblical counseling model? Okay, resistance from the members, but why? They don't want to look at their heart issues? Okay, we don't need that. They don't want to change. What else? Yeah, those are good. What else? Okay. Yeah, we don't have problems in our church.
Yeah, they don't have like a hunger for like a problem, a deeper problem that they don't necessarily see.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Okay. Okay, it's not the church's responsibility. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, Rebecca. Yep. Yep. Yeah, we don't want to do that. We're going to keep our hands clean from that kind of stuff. What if you've got a psychiatrist or a psychologist that's part of your congregation, is a prominent member of your congregation? Yeah, they'll tell you you're not trained. Yes. Okay. Don't think the scriptures are sufficient. Other challenge, yeah.
Very much a cultural thing, and so for us, it's like leaping over the hurdle of the Bible is sufficient, and it really can deal with. I mean, not necessarily. It may not necessarily deal with like if you have a imbalance or like an actual physical problem, but it does cover a multitude of areas.
Yeah.
My counselor brought that up too. Well, for all the trauma I've been through, shouldn't I be going through? And I said, well, just you know, that's what you need to do. But as we begin to work, she began to realize, oh, wait a minute, this is different, because she was doing 4 sessions a day when she was in prison.
Yeah.
In counseling, and didn't do what even in the 9.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, there's if you guys get the ACBC newsletter, if you don't, just go to biblicalcounseling.com. There's a podcast on right now that Ernie Baker did on trauma, because that's the next big catchword. We talked about that a couple modules ago, but that's the next big catchword is trauma. But why are some people motivated by trauma and other people debilitated by trauma? Right? But I had, Josh, you listened to that one with Ernie Baker, right? The trauma one? So good. Yeah, it's very good. I would highly recommend, again, because the next big thing coming out is trauma. That's the catch word now, is all this trauma. And, biblicalcounseling.com. If you go to biblicalcounseling.com. Yes, right. Truth and Love podcast. Yeah.
And yeah. May is mental health month, so every Monday they put out a new podcast. And in May, there's 5 Mondays in May. This time there will be 5 podcasts about.
Yeah. Yeah. Really well done. Really well done.
I've gone through, I've had traumatic experiences. I've gone through the quote unquote church hurt stuff. And him describing like how your trauma becomes a lens with which you see the world is so true. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Really helpful. Yeah. I wish I'd
Right, right, right. Which tells you even the need for the churches to have the mentality of biblical counseling, of the sufficiency of Scripture, to deal with those kinds of things. And I sat down with a medical professional recently, talking about bipolar and all these other things. And I said, I'm just curious. I said, I imagine you do medication for those things. And she said, yeah. And I said, how do you determine the medication? Or, how do you determine whether they're in need of medication? I said, is there a biopsy you take? I said, no. I said, blood tests, urinalysis, CT scan, MRI, biopsy. And she said, no. And I said, how do you know? And she said, good question. Yeah, there wasn't an answer, because there's not. Because there's not a formula. It's not like you just say, okay, take 400 milligrams of this, and that will stop this, right? Because it might be 400 milligrams here will cause something else up here, or something. But it was a good conversation, because it wasn't at all like negative. It was just, she was really curious about it. So, it was good. So, but it has to begin with the pastors, and his role, as an elder, is what? Well, he's a shepherd, right? What does it mean to shepherd? I thought you guys, there's like a lead, feed, protect. That's what I always think. I always think shepherd, lead, feed, protect. I thought somebody was going to say that. Lead, feed, protect. A shepherd also exercises oversight. And what does Scripture say? He does it eagerly. I was so thrilled when this lady says, no, Mike seems like he loves this stuff. I thought, oh, well, good. I do. I really enjoy it. And sometimes it's really hard and really ugly. But I really like it. Yeah. Go figure. So he needs to be an example as well, as an elder. Pastors must be also convinced that it is everyone's role. Okay, not just his role, everyone's role. Well, what's everyone's role? Well, to admonish one another. That's that nice Greek word, nuthetēo, to admonish one another, to comfort, to encourage, to help, to restore. That's the job. Not my job, that's your job. Or not just my job, it's your job as well. Is that freeing or intimidating? Yes. Yeah. And I think to understand how to do those things, right? And I don't think we become spec finders to do that. Like there needs to be a door that's available to us to walk into. Yeah. I think it's just alphabetical.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, admonish. Well, let's talk about that then. What does it mean to admonish? Because that's a very negative sounding term. Point something out, correct. Okay, decide. So if your kid's going to touch a hot stove, what do you do? Why would you do that?
Protect.
Yeah, to lead, feed, and protect. Right? So that's the idea of admonish,
On my culture, when the kids try to do that, they let it burn.
Really?
To learn a lesson.
Woo.
That's tough, right?
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah.
But they don't do it again.
Yeah. But it's pastor's role, it's everyone's role, and it's the work of the church. Okay? So biblical counseling. And we've defined it a couple different ways here. We've talked about biblical counseling being the purest form of discipleship. We've also talked about it being the initial form of discipleship. I like this. It's a specialized form of discipleship. It's very specialized. I mean, think about it. Somebody's life is turned upside down. I mean, they're really struggling. They just poured out their heart to you. Very specialized in what you do. I like what Rebecca says. She says, I get a front row seat to watching God change lives, to watching God work. Man, that's so cool. It's also the informal ministry of every believer. In other words, I am not so foolish to think that everybody in here is going to be counseling at the Life Center, you know, 5 days a week and stuff like that. The vast majority of what you do is going to be informal. Okay. But at least you're going to be trained to do that. And, oh, by the way, it's not an option. Yeah, it is.
I don't know. I guess I felt that tension of like, one, it's so formal, but it's also not formal.
Right, like, right. So go to Ephesians 4, because I think that kind of, it gives the overarching idea of the responsibility of the pastor, the teachers, and then and the church as well. So Ephesians 4, we'll start in verse 11. It says, he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as prophets, pastors and teachers. And then he says, for, so in other words, this is why he gave them, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. And then until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, then, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. And so, yeah, for sure, if you said, when you asked the question, is that the goal? It's the goal, for no doubt about it. But it's not a pie-in-the-sky goal to say, man, like, I feel like we've failed this year because we've got all these new people that didn't want to go to training. For us as a church, and I can only speak for us, but for us as a church, a lot of my Sunday mornings are large group counseling sessions.
Right.
Yeah, we teach very nuthetically. And so a lot of times, even for homework, and at first it was so weird to do this. But I just give my sermon for homework, you know? And it was so strange, you know, to do that initially. But I'm thinking, well, I know what we're teaching, and I know what they need, and this is the scripture. And so, in fact, I gave a couple this week, I said, who just needed to spend more time in the Word of God. They're some of baby Christians. And I said, I want you to read Romans. We're going to work through Romans. I want you to read Romans 1 first. And then go and listen to the sermon from Romans, the first Romans 1 sermon. And then tomorrow, read Romans 1 again and listen to the second sermon from Romans 1. And I don't know if there's four sermons or whatever from Romans 1. But by the time they're done, they'll know Romans 1. And then as soon as you're done with that, then do Romans 2 the same way. Well, there's almost, I think there's 69 sermons on Romans. by the time they're done, they should know that pretty well. I don't know, though, that even if they're done, that they would be ready to counsel in the way that you guys are ready to counsel. Right? They would need more training for that. But the natural response of those that we counsel typically become informal counselors, having none of what you guys are having, but as the fruit of that. But yeah, for sure, I would want that. But even if it wasn't through specifically that model, there's still the call to do it until we all attain to the maturity of Christ. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we have a we call it Discover CBC, where people can come and hear about the church and stuff, and we do it in the office where our library is at. And part of what I do is I say, listen, we've got a host of books and resources for you guys to be able to share with family and friends. Those two racks on the that turned around ones, we bring those to church every Sunday, available for our people, and we tell them, here, utilize these things. If you know, get two of these booklets, give them to your friend, and then you read one, and then you guys work through that together, having none of the training that you guys have. So yeah, I think, I don't know if that answers your question or not, but I think we do that as a natural part of who we are. It's kind of the overflow of that. Amy, were you going to say something as well? Yeah. Yeah. And when I first got here, like I was the only one, right? And then our elders and their wives both all went to track one training. And then we did a marriage by design seminar. And so the elder, you know, so we only had like three families in the church. So the three families came, and then Trevor and Erica Hogan came. Trevor and Erica end up getting saved right after that, you know, through that ministry. And she's done some counseling with us, but they've never been through this training. So yeah, it now it's a little bit different. Now it's almost like so many people are becoming self-feeders. That is a really neat place for us to be at now. I think Janky and Alan are reading the book by Jay Adams called "How to Help People Change," which is a book that I have to read as part of grad school right now. And so I had mentioned it, or something. Janky said, "Oh, me and Alan are reading it together," but I never gave that as a recommendation. That was just, you know, so I think it's gained some momentum. That has nothing to do with me. It's the culture. Yeah. 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 So it's the corporate culture. But it had to be developed over time to get there. So, all right, let's keep going. Pastors must be committed to developing their own personal disciplines, such as, I don't know if you have a bunch of blanks to fill out on this, time in the Word, prayer, study, healthcare, rest. I'll wait for you. Rest. I'll rest on the plane on the way to South Africa. Yeah. No, there's one more after that.
You only just gave us one little blank on each thing.
Yeah. So pastoral skills as well as guiding. Is that in there?
Yeah.
Okay. Feeding, leading,
and then
restoring, comforting, protecting. I'll rest on the plane on the way to South Africa. No, I do rest. You know, yeah, I do. But rest for me oftentimes though is not a change of pace, but a change of scenery. Yeah. Mowing, fishing. Oh, yeah, fishing for sure. Yeah, except when my wife outfishes me. Let me tell you, that woman, right? We're fishing, literally the same bait, same outfit, everything. She's here, I'm right here. We throw it out, right? I got not even bites. We're next to each other. I bet she's got at least 8 fish caught before I had a bite. So she catches this big fish. She, you know, oh, we got to take a picture. So we take a picture of it. And I'm still, now I got a bite. I'm like, oh, good. Finally, I get a bite, right? So it's this big. No. I kid you not. It's a pinfish about this big, which takes a lot of skill, right? Because it's hard to catch those on you know, by mouth there because they're still your bait. I pull it up, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to put this in the bait bucket. You know what she says? You want a picture first? Yeah. So that wasn't as restful as when I go fishing with Alan. But, other pastoral skills. Clarity. Okay, clarity. Speaking with clarity. Man, there's a lot of pastors that use all these big words and nobody understands anything. My pastor used to say, some guys are educated beyond their intelligence. I think there's some truth in that. Is they just know stuff, but they can't put it down to a level where anybody else understands it. So it needs to be clarity. It also needs to be passion. It also needs to be practicality. That needs to really be our pastors. You know, I think so oftentimes salt has become tasteless, right? William Perkins says, he must first be godly affected himself who would stir up godly affections in other men. Leland Ryken, I like the statement, it's a long one, but he says, the practical bent of Puritanism led preachers to realize that doctrine is lifeless unless a person can build bridges from a biblical truth to everyday living. Another way of saying this is that the Puritan sermon was a rhetorical or persuasive art. Its final purpose was to move a listener to right spiritual and moral behavior. Preaching is called persuading, testifying, beseeching, entreating, or requesting, exhorting, etc. The aim of the application was to stir the individual Christian to a change of behavior wherever it was needed by awakening the conscience. That's way before biblical counseling became a big thing with Jay Adams in the 70s. Okay. Biblical counseling has never stopped, right? Yeah, but then I can't quote him. Yeah. So I can have Joe send that out too. Just such a good quote.
That quote was basically my thoughts when you were talking about AI writing sermons. Was they could pull out a bunch of information, but it's not going to be able to give you an application.
Yeah. 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 It actually did.
Did it?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. No kidding.
They're smarter than
that. Yeah. But I wonder where they're pulling their information from. There's probably somebody that's got it already written out somewhere. By the way, don't do that. I just did it because I wanted to see what it.
This guy was like the grandfather of all AI.
quit his job at Google and started preaching, like, AI is getting way too advanced, and people were thinking he was talking about some premier thing. He was like, no, it's like, you can train the AI to say whatever you want. So
yeah.
If someone, if you have one person train the AI, you can train it, like,
right, however his beliefs are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, if Mark Weibel was saying this week when he did the AI talk that if you asked about presidential candidates, Joe Biden and Donald Trump, AI made Trump this terrible person and Joe Biden this really glamorous person. So there is input. It's not artificial intelligence. It's gathering information, but they gather information from a slant, whether that's good or bad, right?
I mean,
but
they do that in China?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I just didn't know if that's how they do it. Like, that's how they keep word Russia, where people aren't aware of what's really going on in the world. They control the narrative, I guess.
Right. Yeah. They do. They call it the Great Firewall of China. But they do control all of that. I've got great stories on that someday. All right. So pastors must be committed to discipling his family, his staff. And you do that through books or digital media, counseling training, reading goals, scripture memory. I've never done a preaching and teaching lab before. Yeah. Teaching how to preach and teach. Yeah. Yeah, a workshop. Yeah. I don't know what you had to write in all that. I went through it quickly. And then also committed to discipling his serving members through his staff. This next part is really good because I think a lot of you guys might be coming against this. Is pastors may have objections to this. How would you respond to the following things? Why can't we just refer people out? Okay, they could end up leaving, sure. Why else can't we refer people out? Yeah. Yeah. Unbiblical advice. Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah, if you don't care. It's you're sending your sheep to wolves. Right? Yes. Right. Right. What if they said, counseling is not my strength of ministry? Get trained. Yeah, that's true. Get trained. Listen, there's so many opportunities for training. You could do your own online training, you know. We're going to start this app again at some point. I don't know when.
Micro asks, can she go ahead and do, and then she can come to class when it comes back in, but can she go online and print out the stuff and work through it? She's really wanting to bring it
for
up.
For our material?
Oh,
yeah. Everything's on there. So she could. I don't know if it would be as beneficial because a lot of what we did was within small group kind of conversations. But there's tons of other resources that are probably a lot better than what we have, including First Baptist. Jax is doing it. There's a biblical counseling ministry out of Tallahassee that's really, really solid as well. All right, let's keep going. So they say, not my strength of ministry, get trained. Counseling may require me to neglect other areas of ministry. How would you respond to that?
Use your staff.
It's part of your requirement, sure.
Yeah. Use your staff to take care of the other things that of ministry that can be a part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
All the other ministry areas will be grown by.
Mhm. Right. Right. It's a great way to care for your people. Yeah. To enhance your ministry, your other ministries. Okay. How about the demand inside the church and outside the church may become too time consuming? There's truth to it. Yeah. I mean, there's truth to all of these, right? Why can't we just refer? Well, you can. We have the Life Center. People refer Pastors refer people to us all the time. Okay? But what ends up happening oftentimes is they end up joining our church. Which, that's not our model for church growth, right? Yeah, Rebecca. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. If they say counseling is not my strength in ministry, that might be true. Okay. But get trained and at least lead the way in it. Counseling may require me to neglect other areas of ministry. That may be true. But are those other areas of ministry the things you should be doing or people in the church should be doing? It's rare that I visit people in the hospital because we have people in our church to do that. I usually joke with people and I'll say, listen, if I'm here, there's trouble. If you see me in the hospital visiting you, better watch out. You may be close to the end. The demand inside the church and outside the church may become too time-consuming. That's true. So you have to learn to say no. And you prioritize those inside the church, right, rather than those outside. Here's another one that's really interesting. Very true. Too many pastors commit sexual immorality while counseling. What if your pastor tells you that? I don't want to counsel because of that. Yeah. 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 So set up the parameters. Right. Yeah. Very good. Okay, how about this? If I know the problems of my people, they're going to leave my church. Yeah, if you start preaching about it, right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if you start preaching about it, then yeah, they're going to leave. They should leave. But I don't think that's true. I think you actually develop a culture of people who you genuinely care for and genuinely care for you. Yeah. Yeah. If I get involved in counseling, it may affect the way I preach. It should. It should. It should affect it. You'll know your people so much better. You'll know what the struggles are. You'll know what the limitations are. You'll know where the weaknesses are. And you'll be able to, you know, broad brush paint all of that. Yep. So, yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Yeah, so. Sometimes people will say, man, I felt like you were talking right to me today. And I say, oh, I was. I kept looking right at you, hoping you'd get it. All right. Hey, that's pretty good time. Yeah, Doug. What is the next?